We're now going to sing from Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we're singing at the beginning of that psalm. The Lord's my light and saving health. Who shall make me dismayed? My life's strength is the Lord. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When as mine enemies and foes, most wicked persons all, to eat my flesh against me rose, they stumbled and did fall. Against me, though an host encamp, my heart yet fearless is. Though war against me rise, I will be confident in this. One thing I of the Lord desired, and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain, that I the beauty of the Lord behold, may and admire, and that I in his holy place may reverently inquire. Psalm 27, 1 through 4, the Lord's my light. We come to the fencing of the table of the Lord. And it's always good to know why we do things. In past generations, and I mean many, many past generations, there was much more comings and goings, even than there is now, between different Christians of different congregations coming to communions wherever they were observed and dispensed. And therefore, it was necessary to point out who could and who could not come to the table of the Lord. A fence marks out, makes a difference, and separates. How then does the gospel do that? Well, a fence contains strainers, big posts, crucial, because they give direction, strength, reinforcement to the fence posts in between. And what I want to do is just simply think of strainers that are given to us in the New Testament. The very first priority the Lord sets out for us, we're all familiar with it, from the Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these secondary things will be added to you. That's the first strainer. Have you sought the kingdom of God? The Lord continues and he keeps on setting before us these priorities, because he comes to that rich young ruler. Remember, who came to the Lord, and the ruler thought that he had everything covered and all the boxes ticked. And the Lord just simply goes straight to the heart of the matter with him. And he says, one thing thou lackest, sell what you've got and follow me. He was there challenging the commitment which this young ruler had. Another strainer in the fence. Have we made and are we doing, fulfilling that commitment, fully, completely unqualified to the Lord? We move on to another strainer. The Lord this time in John said, there was a man who was born blind, and there were so many disputes about his parents, about his friends, about the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were all arguing about how he managed to get his sight. And at the end, the man himself was allowed to speak. And he says, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. Another strainer. Can you say that is true of your experience? Can you say, once I was blind, now I can see? We listen to Mary and Martha, another strainer. There they were, providing hospitality for the Lord and the disciples that came to the house, and they were both in the kitchen. And after a wee while, Martha realized she was on her own. Where's Mary? Where was Mary? Mary had gone through and was sitting at the feet of the Lord. And again, the Lord says, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Again, that priority, that strain are one thing. Do you sit at the feet of the Lord? Do you drink in? Do you appreciate? Do you want His word? Then there's that last strain that we sang of just a moment ago in Psalm 27. One thing I of the Lord desire and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain. Do you delight to be here? Not just simply traditional, cultural habit, but spiritually. Do you delight to be here simply for this and this alone? That here you meet with God, and God meets with your soul, and God gives blessing to your soul. Fences put up, giving indication who should and who should not be on the table of the Lord. The reason why it's done that way. And we're now going to move on, and your minister is going to intimate it and deal with it in Gaelic, but I want to say this before we go further. We're going to sing in Psalm 118. Why were these psalms picked? Well, Psalm 116 is part of a set of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. And in the times of the Old Testament, when there was these big festivals in Jerusalem, they went, and it took days maybe to get to Jerusalem. And along the way, they were singing different psalms at different points. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. Can you imagine coming around the corner along the track and seeing Jerusalem and bursting out into that song? That's the kind of songs that they were singing. Songs along the track going to the feast of the Lord. And Psalm 118 is one of them. And therefore, when we sing Psalm 118 just now in a moment, just think, the Lord sang this very same psalm before us as he went up to the feasts of Jerusalem. And we're singing this very same psalm as we come to the table of the communion.
The part of this lad that I had in the book said, Jeslav, Jehovah, Unity. Who are at the table of ease, a garden guest of healing in the heart of the moor, who stand in the table of the guest line, the age of more. The man who bars at mad and beyond, the singing so much for the day, from smack each year, he has to pass at the big parish meeting. So she is, he can sing into the toughest fears of the elements on the table. The guard of this is why Japan and had in itself.
alone. Just me. On you. Whatever we do in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ must have the authority, the backing, the warrant of Scripture. And it is the same as we come now to the communion. And I want to read two portions that give us that warrant for what we now do. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I also want us to turn to the warrant we have in 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, and we're going to read at verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the same Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself." We read there of the way in which the Lord gave thanks. Let us now endeavour to do so. Lord, our God, we move to the table of thy providing. We come underneath the light shed by thy word upon what we engage in and seek to do now. We pray for thy further ministry to each one of us, thy people. Make these things, as we have been considering, precious unto us, for what they signify and represent. And we ask that thou would set aside from ordinary and common use these things as we would use of them, that they would be blessed to our soul, blessed to our life, that they would bring further ministry to us of the cost of the privileges we now delight in. Continue with us, Lord, thou who art the head of thy church and the head of this table. minister to each one of us alone and apart, as thou dost know us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As we said there, there's explanations for everything that we do. And when we come to the very simple and brief, and it is going to be both, of the pre-communion address, why do we have it? It's not an excuse for another sermon. It should never be that. But what it is when you've got a long table and a big table and plenty of people to provide the elements to and for, there are going to be people at the back waiting some time for it to reach them. And all that you want to do is to provide something for their devotion of their soul as they wait for the bread and the wine to reach them. Something that can linger, something they can think of, something that will keep their heart and soul tuned for when the elements come to them. That's the purpose of what we now have. And what I want to do is just simply to read from Isaiah chapter 42. In the book of Isaiah, from chapters 42 to 52, there are four pictures given to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord, they're called. And they give us a lovely insight to the character of the Lord in different ways. And this one I want us to think of now. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. The humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he bring forth judgment to the truth, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. The persistent ministry and attention of the Lord to his people. But I want you just to hold on to this one thought. Smoking flax, he will not quench. You've got a saucer with a dimple out the side of it, and the wick is lying over that dimple, and the oil is lying in the base of the saucer, and the light draws the wick and it burns. As the oil is running out and is about to go out, the wick begins to burn with smoke because you're burning the wick. If somebody comes into the room and they see that happening, the first thing they'll do is grab the flagon of oil and pour it in quickly. And you create a bow wave in the saucer, and the danger is of the bow wave pushing the wick out of the saucer. And what this describes is the gentleness of the Lord in dealing with those who are frail and weak. We might be just like the wick smoking on our last legs. And the Lord gently pours the oil into the saucer so that it's drawn up the wick and it begins to burn bright again. That's the ministry of the Lord to his people, gently dealing with us when we are in that kind of condition. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. But we read there, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took a cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Just as we've tried to explain the reason for the pre-communion address at the table, so likewise there's an explanation for what we now do as the post-communion address. we're now going our own ways. We're going back into the world. We're going to hold on to what we had here in these moments, services, and in this one particularly. And again, we need to draw attention just simply to that particular responsibility. And again, I just simply want to read from Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Surely that's what we've had this morning. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's as far as we've reached thus far. That's what we've experienced. What next? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord says in Hebrews 2, I think it is, that he is not ashamed of his people. Are we ashamed of him? Are we quiet sometimes when we ought to speak out? Do we give a body swerve to a situation which would leave us embarrassed? Are we in any way compromising what we've done here today? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Sometimes, every one of us, we know it. Sometimes we sow the seed with tears. Sometimes we have great reservations about our ability to do anything in the cause of the Lord. But we go and do it nevertheless. And we leave the outcome to the Lord. Let us therefore hold fast to what we've said we are here this morning. We are the Lord's people. And let us therefore encourage each other, because encouragement is needed. And let us also get together as people, fellowships informally, fellowships formally in the church. Whatever they be, the assembling of the saints, let us encourage each other by meeting with each other. We're told at the end of Malachi that a book of heaven was written. The talk of the town was a conversation of the saints, and the Lord delighted in the talk of the town. We need to be the same today. The talk of the town, of the village. What the Lord has done for us here today, to share it with others. Hold fast to what we've had here this morning. Let us now pray. O Lord our God, there have indeed been blessings in store and provided and experienced for and by thy people. We can go our way now this morning, holding on to something given by thee to each one of us. And we can bless thy name for these things done to us. But, O Lord, we are conscious now of those on the other side of the fence looking in. And we pray for them that the very fact that they are separate from us now might be blessed to them and may start them to think in a way that would lead them ultimately to the same place we are now in. And so, Lord, we pray for those strangers to thee, at least without a public profession of that faith which may be in their souls. We don't know what man is like. We only can look at the outward things. But Lord, thou dost know the inner heart. And so where we cannot go with our actions, we can go with our prayers. And we can ask, Lord, for thy work, that work of grace in others. looking on this day. And in all that we've done here this morning, we pray, Lord, thy pardon and forgiveness, whatsoever has been short or inconsistent with the glory rightly thine for the salvation of souls in Jesus Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen. We're now going to close by singing from Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and the last three verses of that psalm. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him, and blessed all nations shall him call. Now blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel. For he alone doth wondrous works and glory that excel. And blessed be his glorious name to all eternity. The whole earth let his glory fill. Amen. So let it be. 72:17. His name forever shall endure. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.